Good morning to you, Dr. Alan Steinman.
Good morning, Shelley.
You're the Alan and Helen Hunting Director, Annis Water Resources Institute. Every other month, we put you on the spot to ask how things are. How are things?
Well, there are good things and there are bad things. This state has some issues with its water these days, not just Flint. And we don't want to forget about Flint, of course. But as everybody in the greater Grand Rapids area knows, we've got problems with perfluorinated compounds and coming out of the old Wolverine tannery. And that problem continues. It continues to migrate, both literally and figuratively. So with yesterday's announcement by the state that they are going to adopt federal standards for these chemicals, they now have the legal authority to pursue this. And I think, you know, they were pursuing it anyway, but having that legal credibility behind them allows them to go after this in a more vigorous way. It's significant. You know, Wolverine, I think, has been helping out to some degree. They say they want to be a good corporate neighbor, and I believe them. But nonetheless, this problem is persistent. We have no idea yet how large it is. We know that there are 15 square miles that are potentially affected in Plainfield and Algoma townships, as well as the city of Rockford, and continue testing to see how problematic this really is.
I mean, background information comes from ABC News, so this is a national story.
Oh, it's very much a national story, not just because of what's happening here locally, but there are national implications. These kinds of compounds, now in the Wolverine's case, it came from the Scotchgard, from their shoe protection and the old tannery. But a lot of military installations had this in their foam. And as a consequence, this is a problem that could be pervasive throughout the entire country. And we're kind of at the leading edge of this. And what happens here will probably have national implications as a consequence.
So the PFAS update, how do we keep in touch? Do you have a source for us to?
Well, I would say, you know, obviously, the Grand Rapids Press has been following this very closely. DEQ's website will probably have postings, although I have not checked that personally. Garrett Ellison, who's the reporter for MLive that does the environmental reporting, has been on top of this. And, of course, you know, our involvement has been that Dr. Rick Radisky, who works at the Institute, our environmental chemist, was one of the first people years ago to bring this to the public's attention. And for many years, it was pretty much ignored other than the people up in Rockford who were concerned about this. And then in this past year, it is, as the problem has received the kind of attention that it deserved, you know, Rick's role has been recognized as a consequence. Now, we don't take any, you know, particularly pride in that. Obviously, we want to be out in front of these issues. We want to inform citizens on good science and what the problems may be so that they are informed, because that's the most important role we can play. As a credible scientific organization, we want to make sure that the information we provide is as rigorous as possible. And Rick has played a role in that regard in a very real way.
Awesome. Topic number two, the EPA sponsor remediation to restoration to revitalization. Break this down for me, Alan.
They need to work on their acronyms because this one's a tough one. They're concerned about, we have these federally designated areas of concern around the Great Lakes, originally 43, and they are being delisted slowly but surely. The question is, what happens after delisting, life after delisting for these areas? Because even though they've met their restoration targets, they're not clean. They still have pollutants, legacy pollutants that are there. Now, they have gone a long way towards the restoration, but they're not pristine in any way. So what do we do after this? And this forum, which will be held down in Chicago in February, is for people who are working around these AOCs who have had ideas about what life after delisting may look like to come and help work with EPA, talk to them about these opportunities. I've been invited to come down and talk about Muskegon Lake and the work that we've done in Muskegon Lake in the restoration and the plans that we have. We're not delisted yet. We hope to by 2019, but we're developing plans right now with the help of NOAA and EPA to see what Muskegon Lake will look like after delisting. And there's so much happening in Muskegon right now. With respect to the shoreline and the lakeshore, we can be a model for other communities around the region. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're interested in working with us.
Awesome. Again, Dr. Alan Steinman with us from the Annis Water Resources Institute every other month. Your new year in review is out.
Yeah, we do this every year. We send out a couple of hundred of these to our favorite donors, but we're also it's also available online. And so if people want to know, in very non-technical terms, lots of photos, very graphic-friendly, what we did in 2017, I would encourage them to visit our website, www.gvsu.edu/WRI, and look for our 2017 year in review, and they can look at it online. If they want a hard copy, we are more than happy to send them one, so just email me, and we can get you one of those online as well.
So what stands out in 2017?
Well, it was another productive year, of course. We continue to work on some of the most pressing issues around the Great Lakes, ranging from climate change to non-point source pollution and things like harmful algal blooms. So how do we really control the nutrients in an effective way? And some of the other fish-related projects that I've talked about in the past, led by Dr. Carl Reitz, the reintroduction of Arctic grayling to Michigan, very exciting, continued work on sturgeon and working on yellow perch. So just lots of problems that we're trying to solve around the Great Lakes, and we're thrilled to be part of this and have a very vibrant graduate education program, giving the students the training that they need to be successful leaders in the water world in the future.
You just handed me a hard copy. I like it. Is this from Pictured Rocks, or is that... Where's the picture
I think that's
from?
Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Okay. That's a fun place to go.
We're doing work up there as well on baby's breath, man, which people don't normally think of as an invasive plant, but it is once it gets out of those floral bouquets. And it's a real problem for the dunes up there because they have long taproots, and they'll stabilize the dunes. And for dunes to be effective ecologically, they need to migrate.
Here's a picture of you talking about the power of philanthropy as is needed. All right. Lastly, you want to talk about a swine farm proposal?
Well, there is a proposal for a CAFO, a concentrated animal feeding operation, for 4,000 animal units of swine up north of Montague in the Big Flower Creek watershed up there. And there was a public hearing last night towards that. Hopefully, we all appreciate the role of agriculture in Michigan. It's a major, major economic sector for us. But there is the potential for nutrient runoff from these concentrated farms, and we're very concerned because it's only 2 miles from Lake Michigan. And if the nutrient management plans aren't appropriate, then there could be problems. So the question is, what are their nutrient management plans? Are they vigorous? Are they rigorous? Is there appropriate monitoring in place to deal with this? And those are the kinds of questions that we need answers for in order for us to identify whether this would be a problem or whether this will be an asset for the region. And that's where we're hoping to get more information. And the public meeting was towards that, giving us the transparency that we need to make these kinds of informed decisions.
What's on your list for today?
After you, I'm meeting with a couple of legislators to talk about the Rockford issue, and then we have Danielle Lake, who's a faculty member at GVSU, coming out to AWRI to give a seminar, and tonight is the West Michigan Symphony. It's Germanic composers, so we're looking forward to Scott Speck and the symphony doing a great job.
Awesome. Thank you for that. How do we find out more information, Dr. Alan Steinman, on all about the Annis Water Resources Institute?
Visit that website, www.gvsu.edu/WRI.
Take care. Happy New Year.
Same to you.